Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to the one and only Super View Show's Mixed Bag, coming to you live once again from many caves. As always, I am joined by the panel of panelists right here at the Super View Show. Bill Murphy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, J-Man. How are you?
I'm doing swell, my friend. And Justin, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Living the dream, buddy. Living the dream. So anyways, but as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to, Bill, what is our topic again tonight? What do we got?
Every Saturday night for the last 50 years.
Give or take a couple months between Mother's Day and Labor Day.
Well, most Saturdays between at 11:30, just when you think you're getting ready to go to bed, you hear those words, "Live from New York, it's Saturday night!" This past Sunday,
yes,
SNL had its 50th anniversary show.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk about that, SNL in general, and where's the show going to go from here? And, you know, because Justin and I, back in October, we saw the Saturday Night movie.
I did not see it. I wish I did, but
it's on Netflix.
I might as well check it out.
I might watch it again now. Thank you. And what it makes, listen, I'm sure artistic liberties were taken.
Oh, of course.
But it really makes you think, because on Saturday night, they had the 50th anniversary show on Sunday, but Saturday night, they actually showed the very first episode.
Yes, the very, very, very first one.
George Carlin hosting. And, you know, if you've seen the movie Saturday Night, you're like thinking, knowing the chaos that happened before the show went on. Justin, would you explain some of the chaos before the show went on?
The cast were in open revolt. The writers were stoned. The sound system was effed. And it was 90 minutes till air.
And they were this close to showing just a Johnny Carson rerun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't even, and they kept asking him, "What is the show?" They kept asking Lorne Michaels, "What is the show?"
Yep.
Because this was made in a time, and this goes into the movie Saturday Night, but this goes into a time where late night shows before SNL were more for, how do you describe it?
An older generation.
You had Johnny Carson and all that.
Milton Berle.
It's a good way of putting it.
But then Lorne Michaels and SNL, I think, was so revolutionary because this was a show for younger people.
Yeah, it really was.
People in their late
teens. Was a show that it was one of the first shows made by the generation that grew up on television.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And yet, sorry, I'm over talking about the movie here before we get into the actual show here, but
you're good, bud. Good.
There is a lot of in the movie. It is sort of like the new young generation up against the old guard. Which, that's a good way to describe it, Justin.
Yeah.
Because there was a scene with Milton Berle, we'll probably talk about him a little later, but Milton Berle, played by J.K. Simmons, who was known as Mr. Television, he's at this show, he's at the same studio, and they're recording like this very 50s, 60s-esque type show.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorne Michaels is just sitting there watching it, and you can see Lorne's getting like, "Can we do this?"
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at them they're mocking him, going, "Hey," and Johnny Carson's talking to him, going, "Hey, we're still in charge here, Lorne." But I think the show Yeah, listen, we'll talk about has the show aged well and what's the future of it going to be.
All right, sounds good.
SNL 50th. Okay, I watched a good chunk of the of it last night. I do have a DVR. I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing, but I watched a good chunk of it.
Yeah, and what happened?
I was at a friend's house. We were doing something, and then said, "Hey, SNL 50th is on tonight. Why don't we watch?" So I watched a good chunk of it. All right, guys, let's begin.
Let's do it, shall we?
Yep.
Starting with the highlights. I really did like how during the Bronx Beat segment they brought back Mike Myers's coffee talk character,
mm-hmm.
Linda Brumman. I thought that was a very welcomed return. And, you know, since Dana Carvey was not there that night, they really couldn't do a Wayne's World sketch. I suppose they could have done like a Dr. Evil thing. Maybe Dr. Evil meeting Lorne Michaels, considering that Dr. Evil is a Lorne Michaels impression.
Yes.
I think it was a lot of fun seeing the culmination of Domingo.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
That's right.
With the Kel Squad.
Yes.
Oh my god, that made me burst out laughing.
Now with Sabrina Carpenter.
Because I know the first one, I think, was Ariana Grande.
Yep.
Second, I don't know who the second one was.
Charlie XCX. It
was Charlie XCX. And now this one was Sabrina Carpenter.
Yes.
And then, like, when they were doing the parody of You Belong to Me, I was actually thinking, is Taylor Swift going to make an appearance?
That would have been funny.
That'd be hilarious. Been great. And you know, and Domingo, like, oh god, Domingo's at another, is that another major life event of mine?
The 1 year vow renewal.
Why do people have renewals after 1 year?
Let's be honest, that couple needed it.
It kind of reminds me of my parents when they were getting ready to celebrate, I want to say their 25th. And what? Anyway, I'm like, why don't you guys get your vows renewed? And my dad goes, why should we renew them? They're still good.
Good point.
But anyway, and they were thinking about doing it for the 30th, but then there was that whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
That thing, you know, that thing, Justin.
Yeah,
that happened.
That we tried to get deleted from our memory, but the people who did it, they charged way too much money, and they did it. And I, how much do I owe them again, Justin?
Well, it just went up for you mentioning him.
Damn it!
Close okay, enough.
But anyway, I like when the other guy, Domingo's brother, came in, he's in my past. Ronaldo goes, Ronaldo, Domingo, you two know each other? We're brothers. And what I love is that Martin Short and I forget who was playing the wife.
Oh, God. That wasn't Molly Shannon, was it?
I think it might have been. But they're just sitting there acting so casually about it. Like, hey, Domingo, Ronaldo, you guys know him? Yeah, we know him. He did our kitchen renovation. Now, I think we got a new good recurring sketch here.
I agree.
What do you think, Justin?
See, I don't know. I think this was the logical conclusion of it.
We now know Domingo has a brother. Why doesn't Matt just get a restraining order against Domingo?
Probably seeing his way through the judge.
But wait a minute. Didn't they have a baby, though, Matt and Kelsey? Because that was the baby shower sketch?
Yeah, it somehow it was twins. One was Matt and one was Domingo's. You know, that biological miracle.
And how did that happen? We don't know. But, all right. So, we talked about the Bronx beat, the Domingo sketch.
What are you guys' opinion of the Lawrence Welk sketch?
I don't know if I saw it.
I forget offhand.
It was with Will Ferrell reprising his role as
oh, the jail guy? No, that's something else. Sorry.
That's a different one.
Will Ferrell what?
That drunk singer guy?
Oh. I enjoyed it. I laughed a lot with it. I mean, well, what is your opinion of it?
I don't know. I wasn't the biggest fan of the Lawrence Welk sketches when it was on during the late 2000s.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I commend Kristen Wiig and her amazing commitment.
Agreed.
And again, this is one that it just reaches its logical conclusion.
I'm watching it right now.
He's refreshing his memory as we speak.
Yes.
One thing I kind of noticed, though, is the sketches that were featured that was sort of returns were more from the 21st century.
I've noticed that.
Like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
Like, you had access to Eddie Murphy. You could have done another Miss Robinson sketch. Or Gumby, or...
Gumby, damn it.
Well, they had Eddie Murphy on the... They had Eddie Murphy on the Black Jeopardy sketch.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan. I thought that was pretty funny. We'll talk more about that in a bit. And they had him at the end sketch with Will Ferrell.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Which was hilarious.
The scared straight sketch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, prison is that actually I got free time on doing this. That made me laugh.
We also had whatchamacall? Oh, thoughts on that Q&A segment with
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
I thought it was good, yeah.
I think you guys are just concluded us because you couldn't put us in the sketches or something like that. Why be so cynical, Seth? We're having a good time. Yeah, we like this. Go on. Remember Ryan Reynolds? Yeah. Are those conehead hats edible?
No, they are quite old, so they are most likely highly toxic.
I just had a little nibble of them. Should I go to the hospital or?
Yeah, you should go to the hospital immediately.
I That made me chuckle.
That was the first time he really addressed the Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni thing.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah, because when he raised his hand, they were like, "How are you doing?" He was like, "Why? What'd you hear?"
Was Blake there? Or
Blake was there.
And he's in the same studio that the guy who is now married to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. For those of you who don't know, Colin Jost is married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
Which is kind of a weird combination, don't you think?
Yes.
That's kind of like good for him, but like that's strange at the same time.
Now, speaking of Colin Jost, what did you think of the Weekend Update this week?
Brilliant. That's me, though.
Poor Colin Jost.
Justin, poor Colin Jost.
I like how they brought back Seth Meyers. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I didn't grow up with Norm MacDonald and all, but no, Seth Meyers was actually my favorite SNL.
He was the one I grew up with.
Oh, no, me too.
Yeah, Seth Meyers was always the one that I enjoyed too, but this one was pretty good, really good actually. It kind of like it all came together with it.
Yeah,
and I liked how Bill Murray paid tribute to
everyone.
Norm MacDonald.
I feel like Bill Murray's just like a humble guy.
No, because I remember at the Oscars when he was brought out to do one of the, and it was just right after Harold Ramis died. He was.
Oh, yeah,
I want to say it was for Best Screenwriter or something. And one more, and Harold Ramis for Ghostbusters, Caddyshack, and something. And National Lampoon.
That was awesome. I remember when that happened. That was great.
Yeah, I do too. One update host was not mentioned, though.
Which one was that?
Charles Rocket.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, because wasn't he considered like one of the? He was what, season
six?
Okay, folks, it's time for a little crash course. Justin, cue the crash course music. Okay, something you all gotta know here.
So back in 1980,
from season six to season 11. Wait. Was I given the crash course or you given the crash course?
You said Justin do it.
Oh, I said cue the music. I was okay, fine. We'll do it together.
Do it together. There you go.
Well, let me explain this. After season five, Lauren left the show. And they gave the show to this inexperienced writer who built a new cast of unknowns again. You know, everyone else left the show. So you had Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo, and the one that she championed was Charles Rocket. But here's the thing. Charles Rocket wasn't funny. The only segment that was semi-decent was the Rocket Report, which was basically his Weekend Update. And everything came crashing down when the cast of Dallas, or I guess the host was a cast member of Dallas or something. They were doing a Dallas sketch, and I guess Charles Rocket was shot. And in character, he was like, "I just want to know who the fuck shot me." And no one had their hand on the censor button. So you all know how Lorne Michaels loves it when you go off script. Oh, wait a minute. Lauren wasn't there. Right. Sorry. So, The NBC execs were furious. They fired the new showrunner, and they fired Charles. So then it became the Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo show.
Yeah. And this was the beginning of a pretty dark time in SNL history. Am I right?
Yes.
If you go from season 6 to season 11, it was pretty bad. Like after season 10, NBC was like, hey, we're only going to bring this back if, guess what?
Lauren comes back.
And Lauren came back. And then season 11 came. And then some people who you didn't know was on there, such as Robert Downey Jr.
Anthony Michael Hall.
And Damon Wayans, who literally got fired on set during the show.
Because again, Lauren hates it when you go off script.
Because he was doing the Mr. Monopoly sketch.
Yep.
And he didn't like that Damon Wayans was changing his voice a little bit. And then the minute the sketch was over, Lauren was off stage and he says,
you're fired.
Yeah, that season 11 was so bad. There was a split second. Did you guys notice? They canceled it.
Really?
Lauren literally had to get on his knees and beg. Wow. Please. He begged the NBC execs. Please give us another chance.
And then they basically cleaned house yet again.
And they basically went, okay, we'll give you another season. But if this goes down the hill like this year, guess what?
We're pulling the plug.
Plug pulled.
And you know what? You got to give respect for Lorne Michaels for that, because this is someone, this was his baby. Even though
he
did the show for 5 years, did he just go pursue other projects or? Justin, he just went to go pursue other projects, I think, right?
I mean, Blues Brothers was 1980. Maybe he was trying to get into film. I don't know.
But when that was over, but when after that, like, this show was his baby. Like, he was there on that chaotic night in 1975 and still pulled out the show. Mm-hmm, and I love that quote in the beginning of Saturday Night going, When the show is ready, how does it go again? It doesn't mean the show is good. It means it's 11:30.
Yeah.
Which means we don't care if the show is great or horrible. The show goes on.
Yeah.
It's one way of doing it.
And, yeah, but you know who I'm surprised they didn't have in the weekend update?
Who?
They didn't bring Chevy. They didn't have Chevy.
It's probably because Chevy is a very difficult person to work with.
Oh, I heard like the time he hosted, like he was absolutely an asshole.
Probably. I mean, who knows?
Like, I know him and Bill Murray got into something. Wasn't that like over 30 years ago?
Yep.
Maybe.
But they reconciled.
Yeah, I heard they reconciled. I don't know if they'd actually worked together though.
And you know who I'm – but I loved the weekend update when they brought back Drunk Uncle.
Oh, yeah. And the chick that you wish you didn't talk to at the party.
And she goes, well, who's the father?
Me!
Drunk Uncle! Oh, my God. Yes, I haven't seen Bobby Moynihan in a while.
There you go.
But you know what?
In a while.
There was a presence missing. While we had Seth Meyers there, we needed Stefan.
Oh, Bill Hader. Bill Hader, who wasn't there.
I know.
What a shame.
Why wasn't Bill there? Bill Hader there.
Maybe he was sick. I heard there was someone who caught the flu. Dana Carvey had the flu.
Yeah.
Was Dan Aykroyd there? Or?
No, he had a prior commitment.
Dude, this was the show that put you on the map.
I know.
Show, tell that prior commitment to stick it and go, because I was like thinking, because I remember the 40th anniversary, him and John Goodman did the Blues Brothers. Since John Belushi is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, John Belushi.
And I remember I said to my mom, why didn't Dan Aykroyd and John Goodman do the Blues Brothers? And then she goes, I think they're too old to be doing that.
I mean, yeah. But they're also, they're too old to be busting ghosts.
Oh. Are they though?
Ghostbusters!
Are they though? Are they too old?
But no, I'm surprised Bill Hader wasn't there. Oh, yeah, and you know who Bill Hader used to date?
Who?
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good to know, buddy.
Anna, if you're still single.
Oh my!
You can call him at 1-800-GOT-BILL.
But anyway. Everybody. But
he is pitch perfect. What can he say?
But I like the weekend update. Okay, I think we got to talk about a little bit about the controversial one that people are rolling their heads at.
Which one was that? I forgot.
Black Jeopardy.
Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
You kind of knew it was coming, though, right? I mean, it's like.
So people didn't know the answer was Saturday Night Live. Big deal.
Exactly. Literally.
That was the. Who is
that? Was then, the only controversial thing about the segment.
The only controversial thing about the segment was that. Was that people didn't know what Saturday Night Live was. That's what Justin thought. But let alone, there was something else.
Just, JT, let me share the screen for a sec.
Sure, one sec.
Okay.
You got it?
Share screen button.
Present right here.
Okay, present. I present to you. Justin, what was the only controversy that night again?
So they didn't know what that it was. The answer was Saturday Night Live. Big whoop. Let's fight about it.
Here we go.
God dang it.
You're good.
Sorry, technical difficulties.
You're good. There you go, bud. Sorry. We do the show live.
You were staying, Justin.
God.
Raymore and Flanagan. No, I'm just kidding.
Not sponsored.
You can call us at 1-800-GOT-BILL to sponsor us if you want.
Okay, so.
Anyways.
All right, so Black Jeopardy was first hosted by Kenan Thompson, and then it was Shannon. Was that Leslie? Was that Leslie Jones?
That was.
Oh, yeah. I miss Leslie Jones from SNL. She was hilarious. Too bad she her career got absolutely destroyed. Well, not destroyed, but. Yeah, Milo. We're looking at you. Go away.
Yep.
Actually, no. I don't have to tell him that. He's already irrelevant.
Oof.
For those of you who need explanation, when Leslie Jones was doing her Ghostbusters, she was kind of bullied by a troll, a professional troll.
Oh, God.
a right-wing provocateur by the name of Milo Yiannopoulos. And he basically made some very, like, he made some nasty comments about her, calling her a, when I'm not even going to give dignity to what he said. It was awful. But he compared her to a certain animal that people use to compare.
Okay, well, I think we got the picture.
Yeah,
and, but then, you know, like she got bullied on Twitter by Milo Yiannopoulos and his little minions. And then she got off Twitter. And then he got banned from Twitter. This was pre-Elon Twitter.
Oh.
He got banned from Twitter. And then he became irrelevant because of some other stuff, but he was trying to become relevant again to no success. And you know how he tried to become relevant again, Justin?
How?
He found Jesus.
Wow. So original.
And but still nobody wants to associate with him. But anyway. But no, Leslie Jones, I'm glad she was back because I always liked her. She's hilarious. She is absolutely hilarious. Like, remember from the Ghostbusters, Justin, remember? I don't know if that was a race thing or a lady thing, but I'm mad as hell. Remember that, Justin? No, but Eddie Murphy playing Tracy Morgan was pretty funny. And Tracy Morgan playing Darius. Are you guys related?
Oh my god. Like,
I don't see the resemblance.
That was so funny.
But then the big controversy. Tom Hanks.
As Doug,
who is basically portrayed as. He's basically portrayed as whatchamacallit.
He's a deep South Trump supporter.
They have him with the MAGA hat on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Trump supporters, from what I heard, because, you know what? I feel like I'm just at this point of my life where people get angry over stupid things. I'm just so tuned out about it at this point. Justin, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at the point that I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just at the point, like, people are upset about something.
Yeah, and the grass is green.
You know what we call that here?
The sky is blue.
We call that Tuesday.
Yep.
But now listen, if there is a legitimate thing that people are angry about, then that is legitimate and upsets people, then yes, go ahead. But this is just, again, people getting upset over something stupid. Apparently, from what I heard, and from what I'm reading this article from what Joy Behar said, that people didn't like how they portrayed conservatives, saying that all Trump supporters are like unintelligent, racist, because like there's a part where Kenan Thompson is like, Doug, I want to shake your hand. And he goes, nope, I'm not touching that. And I want to say something to those people. It's SNL. They make fun of everyone.
They do.
They make fun of conservatives. They make fun of liberals. They make fun of Trump. They make fun of Biden. They make fun of Obama. They make fun of Hillary. They make fun of George Bush.
Everyone and anyone.
They made fun of Gerald Ford.
Yes, they make fun of Bill Clinton, played by the late Phil Hartman. God, rest in peace. Guys. SNL makes fun of they make fun of everyone.
They're like the live action Family Guy guys. Chillax.
If they're not making fun of you, you're not relevant.
Exactly.
And I think people, again, this is why when people get offended by things, this is why I'm just so tuned out nowadays.
Yeah.
Unless if it is something that is legitimately upsetting and legitimately offensive, then yes, you have the right to be upset. But guys, not everyone who's conservative is like that. Tom Hanks knows that. Lorne Michaels knows that. It's this thing. It's called, guess what, Justin? It's this thing called a joke. Remember those?
Yeah, or common sense for that matter, too.
It's comedy. Guys, SNL pokes fun at everybody.
Yeah.
And listen, I can get why some people were upset. Like, if you're a person who has some common sense, and you're like, okay, listen, not everyone's like that. They're just making a joke. They're just making a joke. It's okay, you know. My uncle is a Trump supporter, and he's not like that. I know they're just joking around. It's they poke fun at everyone.
Yeah.
Cause, God, you know what? They did this sketch before.
Yeah.
They did it before. And no one was crying about it. No one was upset about it.
No.
They did, nope. I think they did this sketch shortly after Trump won in 2016. And nobody was complaining.
If anything, I thought it was a very reach across the aisle kind of sketch.
Yeah.
I think, again, what you got to know is people, they poke fun at everyone. They make fun of everyone. If you can't laugh at yourself.
You're right.
Yeah. You're right. But no, that was just a stupid controversy. People getting upset over nothing. And Tom Hanks, people. Tom Hanks.
Who doesn't love All right.
How can you not like Tom Hanks?
While we're on the subject of Tom Hanks, you want to talk about the In Memoriam?
Oh, I didn't see the In Memoriam, but go ahead.
So the In Memoriam wasn't for the... it's not for the cast members we lost or even the hosts we've lost. It's for the characters and sketches that just aged horribly. So they showcased all of the problematic sketches and what was problematic about them, including the Chippendale sketch with Chris Farley.
Yes.
For fat shaming.
Mm-hmm.
The point-counterpoint segment with Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd for slut-shaming.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh. That time where Mike Myers and Macaulay Culkin were in a bathtub together. Half naked. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that did not age well.
Nope.
The Chris Farley thing, I don't really see the trouble.
But yeah, it was. Oh, and the blackface.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Lots and lots. Blackface.
Yikes.
And whiteface. And yellowface.
Yep.
And other kinds of faces.
All the faces.
Oh, and that one time Adrian Brody wore an Afro wig.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't see the In Memoriam, but that's something that's kind of clever, though. I think that's kind of clever, though. What do you think?
Oh, and the Canteen Boy sketch.
I think we did we touch on everything as far as like the recap goes itself?
Oh, I there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. That's okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what was my favorite sketch of the night?
Which one?
The alien abduction sketch.
Oh my god.
Wait, did you like that one too, Justin?
I was surprised by Meryl Streep.
John Hamm. Who was the other the chick that was next to John Hamm?
That was Kate McKinnon.
No, Kate. No, the one who was next, the other woman who was in, the woman who was interviewing them.
Meryl Streep?
No, she was Kate McKinnon's mom, and it was funny to see Kate McKinnon. And they're going into the details. Woody Harrelson, he was pretty funny. And every time they say something, they go, eh! And John Hamm's like, that's nothing to say amen about. And yeah, but it was down there. And, like, these are the people that you would imagine are those people you see online, those people who are, yeah, I was abducted by aliens, bro. And you know who they got to remind me of, Justin, since you and I watch Family Guy, JT doesn't. That guy who goes, when I saw Bigfoot, I was down at the lake going to my girlfriend. He goes, well, what happened? He goes, oh, and then I asked her, and she said, no way. You know what I'm talking about, Justin, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, no, this one was probably my favorite sketch of the night. This had me rolling on the floor laughing. And your mother's blank blank, we'd like to talk to her too. And that in comes Meryl Streep. I gotta give Meryl Streep credit though, because you know she's usually that type of.
She went for it.
She sure did.
She's usually, I don't want to say stuffy type, but one of those, you know.
Oh, this was Mamma Mia Meryl Streep. This was, I'm just here to have fun, Meryl Streep.
I guarantee you, Lauren probably called her, goes, hey, you want to be in a sketch for the 50th anniversary? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to have Kate McKinnon play your daughter? Kate McKinnon, again, another one of my favorite cast members.
Fantastic.
Okay, she's hilarious. Come on.
She is.
But no, this one made me burst out laughing. And this made me burst out laughing. And no, that's nothing to say.
See, for me, it was
Debbie Downer.
Yes. Seeing her interact with Robert De Niro, oh my God. I thought De Niro was going to put her through the bar.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was just like De Niro's just like this intense presence. And like, first of all, I wasn't expecting to see De Niro there at all. But, let alone involved in a sketch. But it was Jimmy Fallon, De Niro, and who else was it? And Rachel Dretch was in top form. You guys didn't see the sketch?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't stop laughing. But part of it does have to do with the with just the sound effects and the soundboard, the editing, It's just great.
Yeah. And you know, JT, what was your favorite sketch of the night?
Oh man. I think the Weekend Update probably. The Weekend Update is probably my favorite.
No, I like the Weekend Update, but to me the alien abduction one was probably the best.
Yeah.
And also there was some heartwarming moments. Did anyone see the Adam Sandler song?
Yes.
I thought that was just a very good overview of 50 years.
Yeah.
Of the show, especially the part when he pays tribute to his good friend, Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... Oh, God, I still... You know what I think of that when I think of Chris Farley. I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live in the van found by the river.
Still a classic to this day.
Yeah, but you know... We hired a motivational speaker. His name is Matt Foley. He's been down in the basement drinking coffee for the last 4 hours. Not paying tribute, especially to also Norm MacDonald, who we've lost since the 40th. You know, when they do in memoriams, should we do everyone who we've lost in SNL, or should we just go, okay, everyone we've lost since our 40th anniversary? What do you think, Justin, JT?
Justin, you go first.
Here's the thing. I don't think we've lost enough people to really warrant it being just the people in between. Now, that with that being said, that might change between 50 and 60.
Because all of them are getting up there. And
they're really getting up there.
And, you know, it makes you, and, you know, and I hate to go on, I hate to get morbid for a second, but you know what really made me, which was the thing that really, when they showed that short film, the notes, Don't Hold On.
Yeah.
And John Belushi is at their graves. And he's like, and I thought I was going to be the first one to go. And he's like, Gilda Radner's there, and Chevy Chase. Watching that, knowing, you know, it's one of those things that's sad because you know, because we know what happened. You know what I mean?
Jeffrey? Yeah.
Because when he said, I thought I was going to be the first one to go, ironically, of that group,
he was. Followed by Gilda.
Knowing that, you know, they all outlived him.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary watching.
Yeah.
And like, even though it is supposed to be played for laughs, but I don't know. Tell me what you guys think. It's like, once, because we know what happened to John Belushi, it's not funny anymore.
It's harsher in hindsight, definitely. And it becomes more of a... macabre, morbid, curiosity.
Because, you know, it is supposed to be funny at the end when he's doing the dance, but when you watch it, I'm sorry, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Because when he said, oh, I thought I was going to be the one to go first, and he was.
Hmm.
JT, I don't know if you know what we're talking about. There was a short film. I think they showed it like the first SNL. Am I right?
Not the first one, but an early one.
And it was introduced by Garrett Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, before what we go on to... you know, what we think the future or the past for SNL was. What do you guys think of a lot about the music performances?
I think
I saw Miley and I saw Paul.
I was happy to see Paul, although he is really getting up there.
His voice is shot.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Because I was watching it when I got home, and I was watching it with my mom. She goes, he does not sound good.
No.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't sound good.
And that it's sad to say, but...
Well, listen, we got to be honest with you, folks. He did not sound good.
No.
He did the Abbey Road medley.
Which is my favorite.
From the album?
Yeah, from the album. It's my favorite.
It's sad to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and both. Go ahead.
I didn't see Sabrina Carpenter and Paul Simon, but my mom said Sabrina Carpenter was fine. Paul Simon, though.
Paul was rough, too. Both Pauls were.
What song did Sabrina and Paul do together?
The Sound of Silence?
No, it was one that he did with George Harrison on SNL once.
I forget which one it was.
Miley, I think, was good.
Yeah. My dad didn't really like that one because of the whole Sinead O'Connor thing.
Oh, when she ripped up the picture of the Pope.
Yeah.
But no, I thought Miley did a good performance of Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah, and honestly, it reminded me more of the Prince version than the Sinead O'Connor version.
I think those were the only music performances. Am I right, Justin?
Well, yeah, but on Friday, they did this whole concert.
I heard about that, but I didn't see any of it.
I didn't see any of it
either. It's on Peacock, if you want to watch it.
What was that?
It's on Peacock.
I don't have Peacock, so I'm sure there's clips on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, who was at the concert?
Let's see here. I think Arcade Fire was there. Lonely Island. A lot of people. A lot of people. Oh, Dave Grohl was there. I think there was like a Nirvana reunion.
There was at one point.
There was one sketch and it was the musical sketch about New York City.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? Tell me if you guys agree or disagree. When I had Kate McKinnon play Rudy Giuliani first, that was hilarious.
Mm.
And I'm like thinking, if Rudy didn't go crazy, do you think he would have made an appearance?
Maybe. Because he was on the whole 9/11 episode.
Yeah, for those of you who don't remember, it was in the cold open, it was him, Lorne, and...
The New York City firefighters.
And they said, you know, I told New Yorkers, let's get back to work, and Saturday Night Live is one of New York's finest institutions. And he said, and Lorne, show must go on. And then I remember one goes, can we be funny?
Why start now?
And because you know what? That was before Rudy went totally insane. When he was America's mayor. And I think why that moment was so... Because that was... He was there saying, hey, we need to be strong. Let's not let the terrorists win.
Yeah.
Lorne, go ahead. Be funny. But, you know, there was one thing in that sketch, like, Why did they do Hakuna Matata in the 80s part of the sketch, but Les Miserables in the 90s? Lion King was in the 90s and Les Mis was in the 80s. That would have made much more sense.
They probably didn't have a lot of time to write it.
Am I right, or am I just having one of my weird artistic hyperfixations again?
I mean, it didn't really bother me, but you're that's fine. Just me.
And Justin, I can make that joke. Anyway. But yeah, the show itself, I liked it.
Yeah. I liked it.
I thought it was a nice tribute to 50 years showing the past and the future, past and the present. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's talk about the future. Where do we see SNL going from here?
Well, obviously, Lauren's getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
He can't keep doing it forever.
No, because that was one thing they kept bringing up all night. Like, who's going to take Morn's place when he's gone?
And who is the speedy guy? The guy that allegedly would take over for Lauren.
I don't know anything about him. But,
because they haven't gone without Lauren since the 80s. And we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, right. He'll be 81 in November.
Well, I'm sure he takes good care of himself.
No, but you know what? A lot of people kept bringing up, is Morn going to retire? Who's going to take over?
I mean, if he loves what he does and he still has the energy to do it, why retire?
You know what I think he could do, because we're thinking if Lorne Michaels decides to step down, or God forbid something happens, because they could have just been joking, but they're like, I feel like they're poping him right now. And what I mean by that is, not going to get into religion here, but if anyone's been knowing the news the last couple days, Pope Francis has been very ill.
Oh, you know that, Justin?
I did hear about this, actually.
I did not hear about this.
No, he has pneumonia in both of his lungs.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
But anyway, but there have been articles, like, popping up. Who's going to be the next pope? Who's going to be the next pope? Who's going to be the next pope? Like, I kind of felt like that's what we're seeing here with Lorne Michaels. Like, Lorne Michaels is probably healthy. But, like, throughout the show, they're going, who's going to take over when Lorne Michaels retires? Or, God forbid, when he leaves this earth, who's going to take over? Is the show going to go on?
I mean, they have to have an idea of who's going to take over. They have to.
Like, do you guys think, and I'll let JT start, do you think if Lorne Michaels retires or passes on, what do you think's going to happen to SNL?
I think
I was asking JT.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure offhand. It's a tough game. But go on. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Justin, go on.
I think the decision would lie with Lorne. Like, if he retires, he would probably name his successor. I think he has something in his will that would say who he would want.
Because you know what I think what it is? And I guarantee you maybe Lorne is training somebody now. Because I'm sure, again, the guy's 80 years old. I'm sure there's been conversations going on. Like, Lorne, I'm sure the execs at NBC are like, Lorne, you're 80 years old. You know, God, thank God you're still with us and you're still healthy and you can still do it. But you got to think of something. God forbid you can't do it anymore. Like, maybe you should start. You know, I'm sure maybe he's training people. Maybe he's training people so that if I retire or, God forbid, I pass away, I'll have someone fully trained and fully ready to go when that time comes. But, you know, big question, like, take out more. Do we see SNL going on to just had 50? Could we see SNL going on to 60?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either.
I think the cast is killing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just had some banger viral videos lately, especially with Domingo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 50 years later, they can still be in the conversation of viral videos.
And primetime television, too.
Yeah.
Like, people will still tune in for it. It mm-hmm. has a base. It has a fan base.
You know, I was talking to my parents about it a few nights ago. My mother could not wait for 11:30 to come. You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Same way.
She would wait for 11:30. My dad would too. And the magic of it is everyone has their own era. Bill, who was on when you started watching?
I mean, who was on when I started watching?
Who was on the cast?
Seth Meyers.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hader.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I don't remember all of them right now.
Okay, but I get the time period that you're talking about. Like Fred Armisen, Will Forte, Bill Hader, Andy yeah. Samberg, Kristen Wiig, that yeah. era.
Yeah.
Yes.
JT, what about you?
I'm in the same boat.
Same boat. So we all grew up around that era. Some people younger than us probably grew up on the Pete Davidson, Cecily Strong, Kyle Mooney era.
Probably, yeah.
People older than us grew up on the Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon, Rachel Dresch. Early 2000s era. Before that, you had the Adam Sandler era. Before that, the Mike Myers era.
Or if you even go to our parents, like, they probably grew up on, like, the John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd. You know what?
My parents probably more the Eddie Murphy one.
Well, because what I'm saying, I get what you're saying, Justin. Every generation since SNL has been on have its own era. And when this show was created, they said it was for the generation who was brought up on television. Because when, again, getting back to the Saturday Night movie, that old guard back then, the Johnny Carsons, the Milton Berles, Milton Berle, who was the worst SNL host ever, by the way.
Yes.
For so bad, Lorne Michaels banned him.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode that he hosted, guess what? It didn't air until after Milton Berle died. It has not seen the light of day until after Milton Berle died.
Damn.
So I bet Lorne Michaels would literally go out of his way to make sure nobody watches it.
Yeah.
But you know, when you take that one, it's, you know, and I'll just stay to my point, maybe get to that. But here's the thing. Because that old guard, Milton Berle's, the Johnny Carsons. Yeah. I'm sorry, at that point, that era was withering away. Because those type of entertainers don't change. And what I mean is, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't change. And I'm not talking about how entertainers should try to start talking trendy and, you know, get in touch with the youth. But you know.
Yeah.
But you do bring in new blood.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
And that's what, and that is why SNL has survived for as long as it has. It's not afraid to bring in the new blood and change with the times.
Because I feel like people like Johnny Carson and Milton Berle kind of grew old with their audience.
Mm.
While SNL, Lorne Michaels and SNL grew up with their audience.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows when you say, like, sweaty balls. Or cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Everyone knows what that's from.
Yep.
When you...
I gotta have more cowbell.
Exactly.
Yeah, where was Christopher Walken, by the way? And where was the cowbell? I'm very disappointed that he didn't do that.
That's all right.
Well, to be fair, I think he despises that sketch now.
I need more cowbell. But no, like, the thing is, SNL grew up with their audience. And like what Justin said, every generation has a different era.
And yes, there will be rough seasons. Those are usually the rebuilding seasons where they're building a new cast.
Sometimes you got to do with what you did.
Yep.
And clean house like what Lorne did after season 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Completely.
But, you know, and we talked about what would happen with the ship, but do you think when Lorne Michaels either retires or passes, do you think this show could survive without him, Justin?
I think it's possible. I think Lorne has proven over his tenure of over 45 years, his formula works.
I agree.
And I think NBC knows not to leave Saturday Night Live with some Joe Schmo with no talent. They're going to listen to Lorne Michaels' input on who should run the ship.
No, because I guarantee you, I think maybe one reason why it wasn't doing good after Lorne stepped down, after Lorne stepped away for a bit, is maybe they just kind of rushed, okay, you're in charge, you know?
Probably. Right.
Probably, yeah.
But now, if Lorne is considering retirement, or if he's thinking about, God forbid, when he's no longer on this earth.
Yeah.
He should be thinking, okay, if I'm going to retire, it'll probably be in the next year or two. But again, I'm going to train that person. I'm going to kind of keep them under my wing, mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the time comes when I retire or when I pass, well, let's stick with retire. I think retirement's more likely than.
Yes.
So when I retire, I'm ready to pass the torch and we can have as a smooth transition as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's what Lorne Michaels should do.
I tend to agree, my friend.
Yeah.
Because after he left, they kind of just scrambled.
Yes.
So I think right now, you say, okay, in another year or two, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to train someone. So when that happens, we can have a smooth and easy transition. And... but yeah, I think this show could go on because, like I said, I think it takes us every generation speaks to it. Every generation has a cast, and just And, you know, it talks about current events in a way that doesn't sound like, that doesn't sound totally dated.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's kind of morbid, but 30 years later, people still talk about the Norm Macdonald, O.J. Simpson thing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And they still think it's funny. But yeah, all I can say is SNL, happy 50th anniversary, and here's to 50 more.
Yes, sir.
Although, I just thought of one missed opportunity.
What?
What's that?
I think Eddie Murphy should have stage punched
Chris Rock.
No, not Chris Rock, David Spade.
No, that would have been funny.
Because one time on Weekend Update, I think David Spade made a crack at Eddie Murphy about his alleged fading career. And he was like, look, kids, a dying star. And Eddie Murphy did not like that comment.
Mm.
This is in the 90s.
Of course.
So.
Okay.
Anything else?
I think we're good, guys.
Yep.
All righty. We want to thank you for watching, listening, however you enjoyed us tonight. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast. As always, Bill, you have a sports thing or whatever?
Sports Insanity podcast on the Sports Insanity Network. Check us out. We're on all platforms. We're not going to lie. Things are a little slow. Football's over. But hey, we got March Madness coming up. And of course, it's coming.
Spring training.
It's already started. Started last week.
Yes, sir. So, yes, spring training is underway for the baseball season here at in the U.S. But for all of your sports needs, follow the Sports Sanity podcast. They're on all platforms.
Yes, we are.
We want to thank you for watching, listening, having enjoyed our podcast tonight. Thanks so much for tuning into our show, as always. I want to thank the two gentlemen, Bill and Justin, for doing this podcast with me, as always. Thank you, gentlemen, as always. Thank you for everything you do to help me out here.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right. But listen, guys, for all of us here at the Super View Show, stay safe,
take care,
and
be awesome.
Be awesome.